This evening we're going to be looking at the 23rd Psalm. So if you would, take your Bibles and turn to the 23rd Psalm. Let us read the 23rd Psalm and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer one more time. 23rd Psalm, starting in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank You for this blessed day. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to open Your Word, to read, to study, to present Your Word. I pray, Lord, that if there is any of the sound of this, my voice, that they might open their hearts up, that they might come to know You. If it's for salvation, before it is everlasting, too late. But if it's that closer walk, then, Lord, just open their hearts that they might walk closer to You. I pray, Lord, that You help me to walk closer to You. I pray, Lord, that You help this church to walk closer to You. Lord, I pray that You just continue to touch our hearts and give us the grace and mercy and the peace that passes all understanding. And we do ask, this is all in Jesus' name that we do humbly pray. Amen. So this afternoon, the Lord is my shepherd. Now the question that I've titled for this message is the Lord your shepherd? Now, the psalmist David was the writer of this book of Psalms, and he's been through life in the ups and the downs, the valleys, on the mountains. He's been through it all, but he started off as a young boy whose heart was a heart after God. When you turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 17, if you'll turn there, we'll read that. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we will begin at verse number 33. And before we read this, I want to give you a little bit of a background of what's going on here. The psalmist David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd," and the reason he wrote this is because David was a shepherd boy at one point. In fact, the scripture talks about him being ruddy. He was a good-looking, young, little boy. And he watched the sheep, and he got to look at the stars every night. He seen the open sky. And he even talks in the Psalms about how vast God is and how big His creation is. And he glorified God in the field watching the sheep. And God was his shepherd. He was a shepherd of sheep, but God was his shepherd. And there was a time in his life that nothing, he feared nothing because God was on his side. You and I can fear nothing if God is on our side. And if you are a saved child of God, God is on your side. So, the psalmist David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now there came a time whenever the Philistines came up to fight against Israel, and all of Israel was scared. And David came by and he said, "Why is Israel scared? God is able to take out the Philistines. Why is Israel afraid?" David came out and his brothers thought he was just a nosy little boy. But this little boy cared about the Word of God. He cared about the One who cared for him and loved him. And he knew that God can take care of any situation in life. 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning in verse 33, when David came out and he said, "I will fight this giant," Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him? For thou art but a youth." Now you got to remind yourself here, we're talking about a small, young, ruddy boy, as the scripture describes, and Goliath, a 9-foot tall giant who has fought all of his life and had a sword that was probably bigger than David or heavier than David. And he was built for war. And yet David, in his readiness, says, I will fight this giant, because David knew it's not going to be me fight. It's not going to be me fighting. It's going to be the Lord. Then, verse 33, David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. Now, I remember back whenever I was a kid growing up, and I lived deep into the country, and I would walk down the dirt roads with my cousins and with my brother, and sometimes you would hear bobcat in the background, and you knew that there was something out there that could get you. And I had a fear. I was afraid. I was scared. But here, a lion came out, and it was only David there. And a bear came out, and it was only David there. I want you to know, for you to not be afraid when a bear and a lion shows up, somebody has got you in their hand. David knew he was in the hand of God. He knew that nothing was going to happen to him because of this lion and this bear. God was in control. And in verse 35, verse 34, it says, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. Me as a child growing up, you came and you went into the fenced area where we had fenced off. If we had some type of animal and a lion or a bear came out, you know what? You can have it. I don't want it. But David said, no. And David, he said in verse 36, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Saul knew the Lord had to be in control. Saul knew that the Lord could do what David was saying. Saul said to David, go ahead and you go. He recognized the fact that David was in tune with God. Are you in tune with God? Are you able to go out into this world and through in the midst of lions' dens? Are you able to go out and be the same witness as David, saying the Lord God will deliver me, just as He delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just as He delivered Daniel from the lion's den? Can you say the same thing? Are you in that tune with God? David was in tune with God, and he wrote, the Lord is my shepherd. John chapter 10 and verse 11 says, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth life for his sheep. Who's his sheep? I'm going to tell you right now, you and I, if you're a saved child of God, you are his sheep. And if something takes you, which they cannot take you, if someone takes you and destroys this body, they cannot utterly destroy your soul. You are totally protected in the hand of God. The Lord is my shepherd. Is the Lord your shepherd? Well, the Lord is my shepherd, David said. And he said, I shall not want. What is that I shall not want? That want is a deficiency. It's an impoverishment. It's a lack. It's a need. It's poor. It's poverty. We shall never be poor in Jesus. We shall never be in poverty in Jesus. We will never be deficient. We will never be impoverished. Psalms chapter 34, the psalmist David again writes in verse 9, O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. Do you fear the Lord? You've put your faith and trust in Him? Psalms 84:11, psalmist David writes again, the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. The Lord did not uphold His goodness and His strength from David when David stood against the lion and the bear and David stood against the Philistine and slew him. God did not withhold anything from David. In fact, the Scripture says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. David's strength came from God. Our strength comes from Jesus Christ, who is God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 says, But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, when Christ Jesus is dwelling in the temple of the body that you are in, there is nothing man can do to touch you or stop you from entering into heaven. They can kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. I believe this was Paul that wrote this. He said, Let your conversation, this means your manner of life, let it be without covetousness. There's nothing in this world we should covet. We are to be content with such things as we have. For he said, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. We shall not want because Jesus Christ will always be our shepherd. Verse 6, Hebrews 13, so that we may boldly say, as the psalmist David boldly stood before the Philistine, Goliath, the Lord is my helper. When David took that sling and he slung it, that was God guiding that rock, just like if you're familiar with a .30-06, the shot of a rifle nailed him between the eyes. That was God that did that, not David. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And if God is in it, and God tells you to go do it, man cannot stop you from doing what God said to do. Psalms 23, back in our Psalms, it says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know what this makes me to lie down in green pastures? That means to cause to make, to lie down. That means when you are in the hand of Jesus, when God dwells within you, there is no part of life at all that is not green pastures. Psalmist David wrote again, he understood wholly what this meant. He said in 103 verse 17, The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him as David feared Him. And His righteousness, God's righteousness, unto children's children. Psalms 145:13. I've got a lot of verses, but I love these verses. It says, The kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His pastures are limitless in God's pastures. And it says, And thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. All generations. Another verse. I've got a lot of verses, and I want to cover these verses. Isaiah 40 and 28. Hast thou not known? Question. Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. That means the youth, those people that are the strongest elites of the elites of this fleshly body. Even they will faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. Verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and faint not. He maketh them to lie down in green pastures. In the kingdom of God, there is no desert. It's all green pastures, no matter where you are. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know what still waters are? You ever been close to a still-watered stream? I could sit down next to a still-watered stream and fall asleep because it's so peaceful. But have you ever been on the waters when it's raging and rushing? And I drive down the road and where there's river, whenever it's flooded and it's rushing, you can see the turmoil and the destruction this water brings on. But God is not in destruction. He leads beside the still waters. In Matthew chapter 8, the apostles, they got into a ship. And Jesus had from preaching all day long. He went and he got in the ship. And he said, let's go over to the other side. And there was other ships that were with him. And they got in the ships. And Jesus went to sleep. And in Matthew 8, in verse 24, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves. But he was asleep. The people, the men, the apostles were afraid. They were scared. The waters were not still, but they were raging. And his disciples came to him. When the waters are raging, you come to Jesus. When life is, and you don't know where to turn, go to Jesus. His disciples woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Jesus, the Lord, gives the great calm. He is the stiller of raging waters. He leadeth me beside still waters. When you're walking with Jesus, there is no rough waters. It's all still waters. I don't care what part of life you're in, whether you're in the valley or you're up on the mountain. When you're with God, you're in tune with God, you are next to, beside still waters, because He is with you. He will never leave you. In that verse of Matthew 8, verse 27, the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this? This is Jesus, my Savior, the Shepherd. This is the man that created the heavens and the earth. What manner of man is this? He is the Shepherd. Even the winds and the sea, they obey Him. He restoreth my soul, Psalms 23. He restoreth my soul. You know, the Lord is in the restoration business. The Lord doesn't care where you've been. He wants you to stop what you're doing and He wants you to turn toward Him, and He will make you to love Him. He will give of you. Just turn. He restores. In fact, in the Old Testament, He wrote the books. He gave them to Moses, and he did this, and they were a shadow of things to come, of God, who God is, and how loving and how precious God is. And He told Moses in the books, He said, if he certainly be found in his hand alive, whether it be an ox or an ass or sheep, or he shall restore double. God wants to restore you of your wrongs. Then it shall be then, because he that sinneth, he is guilty, and that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he had deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered to keep him to keep, or the lost thing which he found. Leviticus 6:5. Or all that about which he hath sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him whom it appertaineth. God's picture of this is, I want to restore, I want to be a restorer of those. Psalms 23, in verse 3, after he restores the soul, he says, then he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There was once a time when we were not down the paths of righteousness. The Scriptures in the Old Testament says all of our righteousnesses were as filthy rags. God wants us to be righteous. He wants us to lead us down that righteous path. He wants us to follow Him. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus told Thomas, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes in the Father but by me. I want you to follow my righteousness. I want you to go down the path of righteousness that I lead you on. John 15, 4, abide in me. We are to abide in Jesus. That's where the righteousness is. And He says, then I and you, I want to abide both. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Do you know if you take a branch and you tear it from the tree, no fruit will come of it. It can't grow. You've taken it away from the tree. Jesus Christ is the tree. He is the life. He is the truth. If that branch is to bear fruit, it has to abide in the tree. We must abide in Jesus if we are to bear fruit. Verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And without me, you can do nothing. Without God, David could not have taken down the Philistine giant. Without God, the waters in Egypt, when they left Egypt, could not have been parted. Without God, Pharaoh would not have let the people go. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Verse number 7 of John chapter 15. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. David asked. He communed with God, and he took down the lion and the bear. He communed with God, and he took down the Philistine. When we commune with God, He removes that condemnation of sin that was passed down from Adam. He removes it, and we are covered by the blood. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. Psalms 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Who? God is with me. Not some man, not our government. God is with me. You are with me. Thy rod and Thy staff are designed, they comfort me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were comforted in the fiery furnace that was burning 7 times hotter than it's ever burned, and the men that threw them in died because their master, their shepherd, was not God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's shepherd was God, and they were comfortable in the fiery furnace. Psalms 23:5, Thou, who God, preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That means no matter where you are always taken care of. You're always full because God is in you. Psalmist David writes again in Psalms 22:26, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. The meek are those that repent of their sins and put their faith and trust in Jesus, and they have from the heart received Jesus into their heart and are covered by the blood. They shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever. To go along with that, Matthew 10:28. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That would be God Himself. Man can't do that, but God can. But if He's your Master and He's your Savior, He will not destroy you. He will give you life. He is a restorer of your soul. Psalmist David writes, Psalms 31:19, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." Which, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. People who are not saved, baptized, a member working in a New Testament church, do not fear the Lord. But those that fear the Lord, how great is thy goodness, we see that. And that thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. He says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Psalmist David writes again in Psalms 45:7, thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above all thy fellows. In all thy garments smell of myrrh and alloys and cassie. Out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. Another Psalm 16:5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. When the Lord saves you and you are covered by the blood, that means the cup that the Lord has given you that has filled, every time when you drink of that cup, it's never going to be empty. It will always be full. It will be always over full. It runs over. There's so much of the goodness of God. There's so much for you to even attain to. Surely goodness, verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell. The psalmist David said, I will dwell. If you're covered by the blood of Jesus, you say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalms 30, verse 11. Thou hast turned me my mourning into dancing. And thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness to the end that my glory may sing praises. David was a man after God's own heart, and he did something against God, but he came and repented to God. And he was mourning. He mourned over the child that died because of his sin. He mourned over the fact that he had a man killed. He mourned because Nathan the prophet pointed it out. He mourned. But when he mourned and he repented, he said he put off the sackcloth and he girded me with gladness to the end that my glory may sing praises. Psalms 21 and verse 1. The king shall joy in my strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips. For thou preventest, thou goest before what preventest me. Thou preventest him with thy blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. And he asked life of thee, and thou gavest it to him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceedingly glad with thy countenance. I asked you, is the Lord your shepherd? First off, in order to answer that question, you must ask yourself, am I a saved child of God? Well, if I'm not a saved child of God, I'm living in my righteousness. I feel like that I am as good as I could possibly be, and I don't need God. Well, we know from the Scripture, the psalmist David knew this, and it was wrote in Romans chapter 3, and it was wrote also in the Old Testament. As it is written, it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. But if the Lord is your shepherd, the shepherd is righteous. You're not, but your shepherd is righteous. There is none that understandeth outside of being a part of the shepherd, as if the shepherd hasn't enlightened you, or if you're not covered by the blood. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Those that don't have Jesus as their shepherd, they are gone all out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. Your cup does not run over. You do not have everlasting life. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. But we see that Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. That's where our shepherd comes in. The one who gave his life for the sheep. Romans 5:18, therefore by the offense of one judgment, because of Adam, because of Eve, because the sin was passed down, the judgment came upon all men. We are all condemned. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the righteousness of who? That's the shepherd. That's Jesus Christ. That's the Son of God. The righteousness of Jesus came upon all men to justification of life. Psalmist David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He justified me. He gave His life. He has covered me. Romans 6:23 says that, for the wages of sin is death. We're going to die because of the sin. But because of the shepherd, because what Satan did, because of the shepherd came and he moved that condemnation. And he gave us the gift of eternal life through our shepherd, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 8:10 said, if Christ be in you, if the shepherd be in you, if God is my shepherd, if the Lord is my shepherd, and it says, I shall not want, that means that I have eternal life through Jesus Christ my shepherd, our Lord. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Thank God this body is going to pass on. But the Spirit of life, the Spirit of Jesus is life because of righteousness of the shepherd. The shepherd that says, I am the Lord is my shepherd. The Word of God is in front of us. It says the Word is nigh thee. And it says, it's in our mouth. Romans 10:8 says, it's in our mouth. It's in our heart. That is the word of faith. The faith what? The faith that causes us to take out a lion and a bear. I mean, we're not probably literally going to take out a lion and a bear, but David took out a lion and a bear because God, his shepherd, took care of him. He took down a Philistine giant because the Lord took care of him, because he believed in his heart. In verse 9, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth in the righteousness. The Lord is not your shepherd if your heart does not believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The Lord is my shepherd, but with the heart man believeth. I'm going to tell you right now, if David's heart wasn't in it, he wasn't taken out the lion and the bear, and he would not have taken down the Philistine. But his heart was in it. He knew God. When the heart is in it, and then we do what we do, we confess with our mouth salvation, and the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. David was not ashamed. He stood in front of two armies, the Philistine army and the Israelite army. This young, ready boy was not ashamed. He went and he stood. And he stood in front of a giant, as I can imagine these armies watching. He was not ashamed. The Lord was his shepherd. Whosoever believeth on Him, David believed, shall not be ashamed. And today, whosoever the same calls on the name of the Lord, puts their faith and trust in God, and you know they put their faith and trust in God by their works. They accept Jesus as their Savior. They're baptized. They become a member of a church. They work out their salvation with fear and trembling. David worked out his life with fear and trembling. He believed God. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. David called on the name of the Lord, and he was saved from a lion and a bear, and he was saved from the Philistine giant. When we call upon the Lord to save us, He will take the condemnation that we were condemned with when we were born, and He will remove it, and it will be gone. And a shepherd will take care of us the rest of our life into eternity. I asked you this evening, is the Lord your shepherd, or are you still in want? Do you walk beside the green pastures, walk beside the still waters? Do you put your faith and trust in Him? Is goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life? They are not, if Jesus is not your shepherd. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Lord, we thank You for this blessed day. We thank You so much for Your Son, Jesus, who gave His life that we might have eternal life. We thank You for being the shepherd that is loving and caring and has mercy on us. We thank You so much, Lord, for this church in which You have given Your life for. I pray, Lord, that You help us to make the decisions that are God-honoring. I pray, Lord, that if there is any under the sound of My voice, that they might come to know You and put their faith and trust in You and know that You are their shepherd. And I know You are my shepherd. Lord, just continue to watch over us and guide us and help us down the paths of righteousness for Your sake. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.